Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful for your mercy. Thankful for your goodness. Thankful that you are the unique God, the only God of the universe. No one like you in heaven or earth. And we are highly privileged that you have chosen us as your children. So we can gather together to study a portion of your word en route to honoring and glorifying our Savior, Jesus Christ. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that the human mind is not capable of perceiving that which is spiritual apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that the Holy Spirit will enable us this evening to hear precisely what you have for us. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We move to Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 28. He reads, "Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as a promise, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron.'" Now, in our introduction of the first 28 verses of the 12th chapter of Exodus, that is concerned with the institution of the Passover feast that was to be celebrated by the Israelites, we indicated that the section may be viewed as consisting of three subsections. The first subsection is concerned with the prelude to the institution of the Passover feast, as described in verses 1 through 13. The second subsection describes the actual institution of the celebration of the Passover, as given in verses 14 through 20. The third subsection is about Moses' communication to Israel, the instructions he received from the Lord, and the people's response to his communication. Now, this third subsection then is given in verses 21 through 28. Now, we also indicated that the central message of Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 28, is that the Lord is responsible for establishing any special celebration regarding the deliverance of his people he wants them to observe. So we indicated that we should, we will of course make at appropriate times references to the institution of the Lord's Supper throughout our study of the institution of the Passover feast because of their similarity. Now recall, we indicated that we could consider these subsections by stating appropriate propositions that help us to analyze them. Based on this statement, we stated the first proposition that covers the first 13 verses of the 12th chapter of Exodus. This proposition, if you recall, is that the Lord provides instructions necessary to observe celebration of his people's deliverance. Now we have considered the second proposition based on the second section, of course, that's verses 14 through 20, which is that the Lord actualizes the celebration of his people's deliverance with explanation of its significance. So we proceed now to this third subsection and its associated proposition. The third subsection of Exodus, verses 1 through 28, the third section goes from verses 21 through 28, and it is concerned with Moses' communication to Israel, the instructions the Lord gave him regarding the institution of the feast of Passover. So this third subsection deals first with Moses relaying and applying the Lord's instructions to Israel in verses 21 through 23. This is followed by the institution of the Passover celebration and its significance in verses 24 to the third line of 27. Finally, it deals with Israel's response to Moses' instruction from the Lord that goes in from the fourth line of verse 27 to verse 28 in the Hebrew. So anyway, based on this subsection then, the third proposition of Exodus 12 verses 1 through 28 is this: that the Lord expects spiritual leaders to apply carefully to his people a celebration associated with their deliverance as they explain its significance. Again, that the Lord expects spiritual leaders to apply carefully to his people a celebration associated with their deliverance as they also explain its significance. So God's message to his people should never be delayed by a spiritual leader. We mean that spiritual leaders whose function is to communicate God's word to his people should recognize that once they have God's message from the scripture, they should not waste time to deliver it to the people of God. They should see the urgency of delivering God's word. Of course, this assertion implies, though, that those who teach believers God's word should have the sense of urgency in studying God's word to determine a message God wants conveyed to his people. At any rate, our assertion is that God's message to his people should never be delayed by a spiritual leader. Now, this point is derived from the very first word, then. That word then of verse 21. Now, except for a handful of our English versions, such as the Today's English Version, and a revised edition of the New American Bible, that did not translate the Hebrew particle that begins the verse, implying a new paragraph, and so should not be translated. That's where they took it. But otherwise, most of our English versions began the verse with the word then as the NIV. The problem with the word then, of course, is that it may be difficult to be certain how the translators use it, since the word then, or the English word then, may mean something like at that time, or next, or even therefore. Now, though our Hebrew particle has several meanings, in our verse, really, it means next, or, and then. Next, or, and then. To indicate that what follows is sequential to what preceded. In other words, Moses' next action after he received instruction from the Lord about the celebration of the Passover feast is reported beginning in our verse. He would not have wasted time in relating God's instruction to Israel, since the message involved here is time sensitive and requires immediate attention on the part of the Israelites. In other words, what I'm saying is he knew the urgency. And we believers, we should have that sense. We're in a point of great urgency. The world is fast decaying, and we are in a point where it is our responsibility to give the truth to people. So we must see that as a matter of urgency. Now, we all carried away with things of this life, which we do, I mean, in our daily lives, and we should in some areas deal with certain things. But no matter what we do, we should see that sense of urgency. As if you may not see tomorrow. Live that way. Act that way. Behave that way. Anyway, the truth is that Moses saw the urgency. So he relayed that message to the covenant people of Israel. Now, be that as it may, a spiritual leader cannot relay God's message to God's people without they are being assembled. In other words, no matter what a spiritual leader who has the gift of teaching has, if there are no people assembled, he can teach. Thus, the first action then of Moses in applying God's message to the Israelites was to assemble their elders, as in the sentence of where we're studying Exodus 12 verse 21, it says, Moses summoned all the elders of Israel. Now this sentence indicates that Moses was aware of the spiritual authority he has from the Lord. Now how can we tell, somebody may ask? Well, it is through the word summoned that is used in our sentence. See, that word summoned is translated from a Hebrew word with the basic meaning of to call, from which other nuances or meanings are derived. So the word may mean to invite someone to be a guest in a person's house or in a celebration, as the word is used with the invitation of the Moabites to the Israelite men to their temple that brought God's judgment on them, as we read in Numbers chapter 25, verse 2. Numbers chapter 25, verse 2. It reads, Numbers 25 verse 2 reads, who invited, that's a Hebrew word, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods and got involved in sexual immorality, of course, and God killed about 24,000 people just like that quickly. Anyway, someone of course may argue that if the Hebrew word then means to call or to invite, that such a meaning should then be used in the sentence we're considering. Now the problem with such an argument is that the meaning to call or to invite is subject to decline by the one invited or the one called. Now such an option is not applicable to the meaning to summon, as it is used in our passage. You see, the meaning to summon has a sense of authoritative communication to a person to appear before the one who summons another individual. Now, this means that the meaning to summon or summons of the Hebrew word, is one that is used when one who calls is in a position of authority, implying that the one called will not dare to refuse the call or to appear before whoever summons the individual. Now that they meaning summon implies authority of the one who calls is evident in various usages of the word in connection with those in authority. King Abimelech demanded his officials to come to him after his dream where God rebuked him about Sarah, because he had taken Sarah into his harem as one of his collections of women. And God said, you are as good as dead if you don't return that woman immediately. And so, as soon as that happened, then he sends an invitation to his people, but really, his official, he summoned them. And our Hebrew word is used and translated summon in Genesis chapter 20, verse 8. Genesis chapter 20, verse 8 reads, early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that happened, they were very much afraid. Now, Pharaoh demanded Israel's midwives to appear before him. And so our Hebrew word is then translated summoned in Exodus chapter 1 verse 18. Exodus chapter 1 verse 18. It is, then the king of Egypt summoned, that's a Hebrew word, summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys leave? Now when the Lord demanded Aaron and Miriam to appear before him in the tent of meeting, our Hebrew word kara is actual, that means to call, is here translated summoned. When those two, because they were both older than Moses. And so at some point, they start to think, well, that's our little brother. Why is he our boss or have authority over us and all kinds of things? Plus, you know, Miriam also complained about Moses' wife. She didn't like who he married. And all of this, God said, okay, come out here, let me show you and tell you who is the boss. And this is how our Hebrew word is used in Numbers chapter 12, verse 5. Numbers chapter 12, verse 5 reads, then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, you can read the rest, and he rebuked them for rebelling against their younger brother. So we could cite, though, more examples, but the ones we have cited are sufficient to establish the fact that when one who is in authority calls for someone to appear before the person's presence, then the best meaning of the Hebrew word kara, is that means to call, that the best meaning is to summon. So that word then, to summon, when it's used, has that implication of authority. That's why we say Moses had a sense of authority. And that's when he called them. Hence, when it is then said that Moses summoned the elders, it is implied that he was conscious of the spiritual authority the Lord had given him, so that he expected those he called to come to him. Now, in application, although a spiritual leader does not have the power to force anyone or any member of a local church to attend to the teaching of the Word of God, but such a person should be mindful of his spiritual authority to communicate God's Word. I'm saying then that spiritual leaders whose function is to communicate God's Word to believers should be aware that they have spiritual authority and should be authoritative when they communicate God's Word. Now, of course, being part of it is they have to be convinced of the truth of the Word. Now, you see, you can't give somebody what you don't have. So they have to themselves be very convinced of the authoritative nature and reliability of God's Word. If they do, then they have to function in that way and communicate God's Word in an authoritative manner. Now, this declaration, of course, is in keeping with the advice of the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a young pastor, not to allow anyone to look down on him because of his age, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Now, Timothy was a pastor to the church in Ephesus at this time when this epistle was written to him. He reads, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." Of course, here is the instruction. This is one of those things, if people really understand, they realize it's not very simple to be a spiritual leader, a pastor, so on and so forth. Now, of course, this instruction to Timothy, though, implies that the way, first of all, it implies his understanding of his authority, because if he said, "Don't allow anyone to look down upon you," that means exercise your spiritual authority. Don't let people run you this way and that way. Now, of course, this instruction then to Timothy implies that the way a spiritual leader or a pastor establishes or ensures that he maintains his spiritual authority is not by demanding it, is by leading by example of what it means to be devoted to the Lord, by being an example of what it means to be faithful to the Lord. That's how he establishes and maintains his authority. It is because here I say you set an example. So that's why it is very scary to be a pastor, if people really understand that. As some people think it's something glamorous, it's not. It is something that anyone who is a pastor should always walk in intimidation. Being intimidated, not by human beings, but because of what the responsibility that the Lord has laid upon such a person. It is a daunting thing to be a pastor. Don't mind how these people think it's Hollywood stars or whatever they call them. No. Any pastor who really understands what's at stake, it is one that somebody will tread very lightly. Nevertheless, it is important that they teach the teaching. Spiritual leaders of a local church should be aware that they have God's authority to deliver His word to their congregations, implying they should be authoritative in their communication. In other words, it is not where you gaze or think on. You have to know with certainty to be able to communicate God's word. Now, I realize that many of us behind the pulpits, we see it more as an academic exercise, or some see it as a job, and therefore they function that way. But when people realize, no, there's much more to this, the Lord holds me to a very high standard because He has given a spiritual authority to me as a pastor to communicate His word, then that pastor will take it very, very seriously. Now, Moses' awareness of the matter of authority in communication of God's word and the chain of command in the spiritual matter is implied by those He summoned, as in the phrase where we're studying Exodus 12, verse 21. Look at that phrase. Those He summoned, they are described here as all the elders of Israel. And I'm saying that Moses, was aware the matter of chain of command. Now the word elders here is translated from a Hebrew word that is used generally in one of two ways. It is used to connote advanced age, in contrast to youth. Thus, the Hebrew word zaken refers to a person, an old person, whether male or female, as it is used in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 4. Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 4. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 4. It reads, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age." Now the phrase, men and women of ripe old age, is literally from the Hebrew, old men and old women. That's what the Hebrew say. Old men and old women. The Hebrew word also is used in a technical sense that denotes authority. Hence, the officials of David's royal family were described as elders in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 17. Second Samuel chapter 12, verse 17. It reads, "The elders of his household stood beside him to get him off from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them." Now here, that's the situation where King David was hoping that the son that was a result of his affairs with Bathsheba, will leave. Although God had said he was going to die, really, because of the judgment pronounced upon him. And so for that, he tried to fast and go without food and call on God, and in the end, that God's plan had to be worked out. So he, during this period, he refused eating, and his officials were begging him to eat. So that, when he said the elders of his household. Now, so that word elders, in this passage though, is used to describe the trusted men of David's household with special authority and influence. Now, it is in the sense of conveying authority that the word is used to describe representatives of a government. That's why the translators of the NIV translated our Hebrew word as dignitaries in Genesis chapter 50, verse 7. Genesis chapter 50, verse 7. It reads, so Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court, and all the dignitaries of Egypt. In other words, who is who in power? They all went. Now, that phrase, the dignitaries of his court, and all the dignitaries of Egypt, is literally, the Hebrew simply says, the elders of his household and all the elders of the land of Egypt. He wasn't talking about old men who can hardly walk. That wasn't what he's talking about. See, so we studied Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Once we start getting old, there are several things that go. Part of it is, you know, you can't move as fast as you used to move, for one thing. And all that things. And some people can't even stand straight. Just depends on what it is. So, the thing that the elders of Egypt went would be an understatement. Because it's not, they're not talking about old men in that respect. Rather, those with power. So that's why the NIV translated dignitaries here. Now, the second usage though, of the Hebrew word that involves authority is related to the first one. Because in the culture of the ancient Near East, authority and leadership role that were given to older men because of their accumulated wisdom and experience. In other words, they put the two to go hand in hand with each other. So it is true that in some modern societies, people do not respect their elders. But that is not the biblical standard. Now, when you see people, they don't have respect for their elders. Part of it is they don't understand what the Bible teaches. Now, I've explained this many times. That part of disrespect for elders, especially for your parents, is to ensure you take care of them in their old age. That's part of it. Now, it is disheartening to me when I used to go down the coast to see people in these nursing homes. Just like they have no one. And yet, I'm sure most of them have the children. They have become something they discard. Because it's no more confident to them. And to me, any believer who does that is a complete failure. In other words, he or she has denied the faith completely. It is important that one take care of the aging parents in whatever form that's necessary. They need to do that. The idea of taking care of old people is part of that system that is biblical. That you give them respect. And so even in Israel, God gave them instruction. Things that young people today have no clue about. And that is, if an elderly person enters a room where you are as a young boy, young girl, you get up. Stand up. See, that sounds, it's not American, right? But it's biblical. In other words, they walk inside the room. Old people, you get up. You don't see that, hi, daddy, or granddad, or whatever you call them. No, you get up. You stand up in their presence. That's a sign of respect. Now, you think I'm making it up? Do you think I'm making it up? No, I am not. So let me show you where I got it. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 32. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Here is the command. Rise in the presence of the aged. As simple as that. It doesn't need any deeper explanation. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. So it is because of the same respect for elders that caused Elihu, the youngest of Job's friends, to wait for those who are older to speak first before he did. Remember when Job, all his trouble started, his friends came to see him. And they took turn. And the youngest of them just kept his mouth shut. Even though he turned out to have more things to say than the rest of them, he kept his mouth shut until he walked down through, and he was the youngest, and so he talked the last of all of them. This we know from Job 32, verse 4. This is what I say, Job chapter 32, verse 4 reads, "Now Elihu had waited before speaking to Job because they were older than he." The first three that spoke were older, so he kept his mouth shut until they finished talking. Now that doesn't sound like what we have today. Well, young people say, "Well, I know better than you do, so let me talk first." That's not the case. They kept their mouth. Here, Elihu, he kept his mouth shut. Watch the elders go at it first before it was his turn. So it is really in this second sense of authority, though, and the influence that the Hebrew word is used in our passage of Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. So it means then the Hebrew word really means elder leader. Elder leader. That is an old person in the community involved in important religious and social decisions. Now, Moses did not summon all the Israelites, but only the elders. Now, this is because to do so would not be in keeping with the pattern he has thus far used in communicating to Israel or the Israelites following the Lord's commission to him. See, the Lord had conveyed to Moses that his communication to Israel should be through the elders, as implied in the instruction of the Lord to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. He reads, "Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt." So, God did not tell Moses to assemble all the Israelites, but only the elders, because this will be the what we call the elders' leaders. Now, there is really a practical reason involved in this situation. We should remember that the Israelites were slaves. So, if they gather as a community, they will risk the wrath of Pharaoh and his officials, who would think they were planning to revolt. Thus, it is for Israel's safety that the Lord did not want Moses to assemble the entire Israelite community to communicate to them. Now, this being what God instructed to him, that also really should remind all of us that God is always looking out for you. Remember that. God is always looking out for you. Looking out for your own good, as he instructs us or instructs you to carry out whatever he demands of you. As I've mentioned not too long ago, whatever instruction God gives us, or whatever law, whatever, is for our own benefit. It's not to make our life difficult to live. No, it's really to bless us, to make it more enjoyable to live on this planet. The problem why we don't enjoy our lives is because we don't pay attention to his word. We live opposite to what he wants us. If we live the way he wants us to live, well, we will be so peaceful on this planet. Anyway, as we stated, another reason Moses would not have summoned all the Israelites is that he understood the chain of command in spiritual matters, given the situation Israel was in Egypt. It would be better for the people to receive instruction from the elders of their family groups, as that would be the most effective way of getting the word around the people without drawing attention to the Egyptian officials. Now, there's perhaps another reason Moses did not summon the entire Israel's community as the Lord led him. It is that he was not delivering God's communication that each of them need to hear directly from him, as was the case when they were in the desert, where all the Israelites needed to hear God's communication to them through him. This is quite different. So in any case, Moses communicated to the elders once they came to him, as we read in the last clause of Exodus 12 verse 21 that we're studying. Exodus 12 verse 21 reads, "And said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb." Now this clause introduces the reason for our third proposition of Exodus 12 verses 1 through 28, which is that the Lord expects spiritual leaders to apply carefully to his people a celebration associated with their deliverance, as he explained its significance. But before we get to consider how this clause, though, introduces the proposition we stated, there is an important observation we should make. It is that Moses, at this point, did not give us all the details of his communication to the elders of Israel that responded to his summons. Now, you see, we say this because there are several details of what the Lord communicated to Moses that were not mentioned in the narrative once he met with his elders. For example, the Lord had communicated to Moses regarding the establishment of a new calendar year for Israel, as we have studied and considered in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Exodus. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 reads, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year." And likewise, the Lord communicated to Moses about the specification of the small animal that will be used for the feast of the Passover, as we've also looked at in Exodus 12, look at verse 5. He reads, "The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats." So, none of these details that we mentioned were given when it was stated Moses met with the elders. He didn't say anything about any of this. From this, from verses 21 through 28, we don't have him saying that. Well, so one thing we have to know is that it is inconceivable that Moses will have ignored these details as he instructed the elders. To do so will put Israel in a position where they will not have complied to God's instruction. Now, such a thing, of course, is unthinkable, since Moses knew that God's word cannot be tampered with. For after all, later on, he indicated to Israel that they should neither add nor subtract from God's command, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. He reads, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. So if Moses did not communicate to the elders of Israel all the details the Lord gave him regarding the feast of the Passover, he would have contributed to Israel subtracting or adding to God's command. It is for this reason that we are certain that Moses communicated everything the Lord said to him, but they were not given in the section of Exodus 12 verses 21 through 28 that describe Moses' communication of God's instruction to Israel regarding the Passover. We say in effect that Moses did not see the need here to repeat what the Lord said to him that he conveyed to Israel. Probably because he wanted the reader to draw the inference that he, Moses, being a faithful messenger of God, would have reproduced completely the Lord's message to him that he wanted him to convey to Israel. So anyway, Moses did not repeat what the Lord communicated to him in this section that we're considering, but we can be certain that he faithfully communicated to the elders of Israel the Lord's instruction regarding the Passover the elders were to pass on to every family of the Israelites in Egypt. So anyway, that Moses did not go into details of the Lord's instruction that he delivered to the elders of Israel, but started the narrative of this section with of Exodus 12 verses 21 through 28 with his instruction of how to apply the instructions of the law regarding the Passover really support our top proposition. He began to just tell them what to do. So Moses began telling the elders what they are to do, since we read in the expression of verse 21 when it says, "Go at once and select animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb." Now the command "go at once" of the NIV and the New English Bible and others that reflect the same translation, in my opinion, could be misleading. Now before I support my reason for this assertion, let us consider that expression go at once of the NIV. That is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to go, to proceed, to march. As the word is used in Judges chapter 4 verse 6. Judges chapter 4 verse 6. It reads, She went for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go. Take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor." See, that expression, "lead the way to Mount Tabor," may alternatively be translated "march to Mount Tabor." Now, the Hebrew word can also have the meaning of to drag or even to prolong something. Now, so the same word may also mean something like to delay. Now, in our passage, though, of Exodus 12, verse 21, the word means to proceed or to go. As a result of going, to drag or to draw up an animal. And so, the translators of the NIV and the New English Bible, they translate, go at once. That to me is inappropriate if, even if their intention was to convey the urgency of the command. Now the reason I stated that the translation of the NIV could be misleading is that the command go at once gives the impression that the elders should, as soon as they left Moses, to demand the people to do immediately what Moses instructed through them. Now the problem with this understanding is that it will imply that Moses waited for many days after the Lord communicated to him about the feast of the Passover before he communicated to the elders. Now this is unlikely, since Moses would not have delayed transmitting such a time-sensitive instruction to Israel. So we are saying that the translators of, or the translation of NIV, will give the impression that Moses made the elders of Israel either on the ninth or on the tenth day of Israel's first month to require the sense of urgency implied in the translation, go at once. That means immediately. Now Moses could not have waited, so that when he communicated to the elders, he expressed a sense of urgency. Now, this is because the Lord had conveyed to him that if the animal Israel will use is to be selected on the 10th day of the first month of Israel's new calendar. As we read still in Exodus 12, look at verses 3 and 4. Exodus 12 verse 3 reads, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. Furthermore, they are to take care of the animals few days before their slaughter. That's what you have in verse 6. Exodus 12 verse 6. Where it says, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Doesn't we do not think that the translation of the NIV and the New English Bible is proper, since it may be misleading, because it will give that impression that yes, he said go immediately. To do that immediately means he's talking about the ninth day, so they can go home and start doing it. But that's what I do not believe is the case here, because Moses will have passed on the information, give them enough days to make all the arrangement that is needed. Anyway, that aside then, the first command, go at once, implies that Moses was focused in instructing Israel on how to carry out the Lord's instruction. Hence, we contend that the command introduces the third proposition we gave, which is, the Lord expects spiritual leaders to apply carefully to his people a celebration associated with their deliverance as he explained its significance. In other words, this whole idea that they will receive God's word, they must now go and carefully apply it to the people. We are just introducing, and we are out of time. We'll continue with it next week. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will enable us to pay attention to all the details that you give to us, and to cause us to recognize how gracious you are and how caring you are in all the details that you give to us for our own protection. Cause us to, for this truth to sink into our soul. This is our request in Christ's name.